Welcome to Attack of Opportunity.
Hello and welcome to Attack of Opportunity. Today, my special guest, Kenny Ketchins? Kitchens? I'm so sorry. I'm notoriously bad with names. What's your last name, sir?
It's Ketchins. I get that all the time. It's an odd last name that comes with a pretty unique story.
Oh, okay. Well, you're unique in yourself. We might actually catch a glimpse at Kenny's darker side, because Kenny has a podcast called Dr. Evil. And on the Dr. Evil podcast, actually, I'm sure there's a long name that, again, I've forgotten. This is a terrible way to... I usually vet my guest most thoroughly. And today, I've you know, this was spontaneous. Thank you so much for being on the show with such last-minute notice.
Well, spontaneity is the spice of life.
Okay, so I'll take that as I'm forgiven.
You are.
So, what is the official name of your podcast, sir?
Official name is the League of Villains.
The League of Villains. And you portray, or your online persona moniker is Dr. Evil. But before we talk to him and we get the proverbial helmet on, now if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see this lovely helmet and the alter ego as Dr. Evil himself. And if you're just listening to the podcast today, we'll try and stick with Kenny as long as we can. But a question for Kenny first. How did you first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us, one of us?
It was actually not until later in life. I always just thought that I just like sciencey stuff. And it wasn't until probably my mid-20s when I started engaging and fandoms started becoming more popular that I started realizing that, you know, I'd probably been a nerd the whole time.
Really? Was there a divining moment or a gateway drug for you personally that got you into sci-fi and the world of science itself?
Growing up, we always tended to live outskirts of town, so there wasn't really a lot of, you know, going to other kids to play and stuff. So I spent a lot of time reading and watching science fiction movies. That's what my parents were into.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you. Like, Dad did watch the hockey game, but we grew up, my brother and I grew up, like, watching Science International as well as, you know, the news or that type of thing. So, no, I totally get it.
Oh, yeah. My father, it was either an old Western or a science fiction movie. Those were my only two choices.
Are you a gamer by chance? Do you mosh the airways, the Xbox, the PC Master Race, PS2? You have any of that led you into world of sci-fi and fantasy?
Well, I had an older brother that played Dungeons & Dragons, and I was never old enough or cool enough to play with him. So I had to use the single-player role-player games on the PC or, you know, whatever console I had available at the time to really fill my need.
Do you have a favorite?
I have absolutely loved Planescape Torment. It just came out again on Steam, and I had to snatch it up because I had missed that game so much.
Now, Planescape, are you talking about the expanded universe of Forgotten Realms that they turned, like, after Baldur's Gate and then all those came out, they had the Planescape games?
Well, it's a single-player RPG based in that world and rule set, and it, you know, it's just an arc within that realm. And yeah. I've just really liked the story and the characters and the mechanics.
Yeah, they're actually been pushing Baldur's Gate 3. And it's a bit long time, like the graphics on your Windows 98 computer played Baldur's Gate, which led to all the spin-offs and then into Planescape. Now, if you're not familiar, Forgotten Realms, which dominated 2nd edition, and then 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons in 3.5, had the outer planes, you know, all the other dimensions, and some were fire, some were water, some were all the abyss and this type of thing. And they had this idea of a hub of all these connected planes and a city, I believe, called Sigil or Signal, if I'm right.
Yeah, Sigil, the City of Doors.
Yeah, Sigil, City of Doors. And all the guards were like 20th level fighters. And it was good luck, but it was that epic, it was almost like stepping into a massive eye-opening Men in Black show, or just like the multiverse of Spider-Verse beyond. And this came out, I want to say the early 90s. And it was it was his own genre within the D&D world that was sci-fi, fantasy, like we're talking beyond the next dimension stuff. It was really mind-blowing. And then they turned it into a video game so that someone like Kevin, who wasn't cool enough to play with his brother, could experience it through joystick and PC. Which brings us back to my next question. How long have you been playing like video game RPGs? Since you were little, or?
Trying to think. I think Nintendo came out when I was maybe 7 or 8, and Dragon Warrior series for the original 8-bit Nintendo was probably my first RPG, and I've been hooked ever since.
Cool. And then you got into Planescape, and your brother's still like, get out of my room, you know.
Right.
So then we fast forward to now, and not only had you decided to become a content creator, your content is what I'd like to say pretty original. But before we get into your subgenre, what made you switch from the 99% of today's consumer wanting to be entertained? Switch, click, switch, click, switch, click, you know, attention deficit, click on this, click this bait, to actually becoming a content creator and choosing a podcast and going to town and devoting a lot, trust me, I know this, a lot of time to try to pull off that particular content?
It was actually my 9-year-old son's idea.
Oh, the mad genius behind you. Go on.
he had dreams of being a YouTube star, so I hooked him up with a channel, and you know, he wanted to do all those fancy things, the overlays and the green screen. And so, you know, I would learn how to do these things for him. And he really got kind of put off by all the setup and all the post-production. And so we were driving around, and I was listening to Actual Play podcast. I believe it was The Adventure Zone at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we could do something like that, and it'd probably be way easier because it's just sound, Daddy. And I was like, you know, you're probably right. And I got my little Podcasting for Dummies book, and it's all just been downhill ever since.
So your son is a major part of your show, or was he in the early stages, like season one, and now you're on your own? Or do we have Kenny Jr. to thank for this?
Well, I have 5 children, and the youngest 3 come in and out. They were pretty prevalent in the early episodes where we really didn't know what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But now they are on the show as my minions. And they run some of the social media accounts for me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Keep it within the family, as it were. I have 3 kids, but I have 1 son, and he's 19, and he just like, Dad, you know, you can't do that. You can't say that online. You're sounding condescending, Dad. He's more like a censor. Him and my wife, who is my executive producer, are more like, no, you can't do that. You can't say that. Oh, okay. Fine. So you're making your own content. The kids are part of the show. I mean, talk about like a fun thing to do with your family, you know. So now you're investing the time, the money, and yay, you get that great excuse to do something with the kids. It's not time away. It's not a dad's secret hobby. My dad was into train set, and he built the paper mache world and mountain and everything. And my brother and I this time were very, very little. And, you know, he had to put a lock and a latch on this door so that we wouldn't go in there and play with this N-gauge stuff that, like, it was a toy, like, vroom, 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 you know, and just wreck Dad's, you know, hobby, as it were. So kudos to you, sir, for managing to spend extra time with your kids and, you know, bringing them into that kind of mindset of being creative. I'm always hearing about schools and stuff that are like, save our art program or save our music program. You know, they never shut down the football team, but they, oh, save the art, you know, type of thing. The schools aren't getting money. So no, respect, man, to a gentleman that's taken a suggestion from his kids and went, yeah, we could do this. Let's try this. So now the show is getting episodes in and is evolving. Do your kids still tap in, or are they just kind of like, they're getting older now and they're like, okay, Dad, you know, you're obsessed. You do this and they're not around so much?
It comes and goes. Like, you know, we'll be sitting at dinner and one of them will just have an idea. Like, you know, we haven't talked about this on the show. And, you know, either they'll help me do the research and look up topics, or, you know, they'll sit in co-host with me. Or for a while we were doing live streams on the weekend. So that's, it's, you know, whenever they want to be. I don't want to push them to be on it. It just so happens, you know, I like doing it more than they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I'm feeling that. So how long have you been up and running? How long have you been creating content?
13 months at this point.
Oh, so just a little over a year. You're just getting your feet wet, just getting out there, getting known. Well, hopefully this episode, which, you know, your listeners will hopefully enjoy getting a behind the scenes look at the man and the minions, you know, that are posting this show that your listeners enjoy. We'll learn a little bit more, but by the time we're done, do you have other content outside of the show?
No, it's pretty much the show has been my first foray into being creative. And it's been an eye-opening experience. I never realized that this much work and preparation went into this kind of stuff.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And now podcasts of every type are a dime a dozen. I mean, even in the small genre that I'm in with actual play podcasts, there is, especially with 5th edition D&D, which we haven't touched yet, there's just so many people going, hey, we have a podcast, check us out. Hey, we have a podcast, check us out. And you're just kind of lost in this sea of podcasts. So we have always been searching for angle ourselves. And when I came across your podcast, I was like, I like this idea. It, for some reason, it just reminded me of Dan Aykroyd's Dr. Detroit movie, where they just kind of came up with an idea and they said, let's make a movie out of this. And the guy was leading like this double life to pull off what he wanted to do. And it's one part parody, one part serious, one part just exploring a genre, or I should say a subgenre, the evil within, the villain. Now, just to be clear, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin is not doing a true crime story here where he talks about, you know, headlines and then pushing the fantasy, the detective thing. Some of your subjects I've noticed you've talked about, like there's no place at, like at home, only it's like no place like the lair, and you discuss an evil guy's lair. Your shtick about being a low budget villain yourself and giving tips to other villains so they can up their game is brilliant. I really enjoy the concept, like just going through your page and reading about what you have, let alone listening, is a lot of fun. And now I'd like you to put your helmet on. Because I need to talk to Dr. Evil himself.
All right. I'm putting it on.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to worry. There might be a slight Jekyll to Hyde shift here in Kenny's attitude towards me. But hopefully we'll be able to talk to the host of the show himself, Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil, thank you so much for taking a moment to join us in your busy schedule.
Yes. Nice to meet you.
So I'm sure you've been listening all up in Kenny's brain about what we've been talking so far. I have a question for you, sir. Do you attend conventions and gatherings possibly where fans and listeners could actually meet you in person and peek under the helmet, but come face to face with the man himself?
I will be attending the Evil Expo in January. It'll be my first convention. It's a convention for villains by villains.
Really? This is a real convention. You're not just pulling my leg, Doc.
It's a real convention. It's a real thing. First of its kind on the East Coast.
Oh, and whereabouts is this being held?
Piscataway, New Jersey, the heart of evil in America, as it were.
And when is this being held?
January 24th through the 26th of 2020.
Oh, so we got some time. We got like 6 months to prepare and, patch up the evil mobile and head on down. Well, that's good news. That's good to know. So you heard it here first, 6 months in advance. If you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets to Evil Expo, and Dr. Evil will be there. Are you bringing some minions along with for signing and, you know, help run the lair booth, as it were, Dr. Evil, or are you going it solo?
I'm bringing Spanky, who is minion number one, with me to assist in my duties. I'll be doing a presenting a couple panels on different types of villainy.
Great. We look forward to it. Can we also pick your brain for a moment to talk about where else we can find you? Now, your podcast, your message to the world, what host are you on? Where can we find you specifically and under what banner? You, Kenny, your, shall we say, host buddy, was telling us that your show is actually called The League of Villains?
Yes, the League of Villains. The easiest place to find it would be at leagueofvillains.net. There's links there for the Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify.
Forgive me. So obviously you have your own domain, sir.
Correct.
All right. I didn't want to presume, and yet I'm terribly sorry. I do not mean to offend a villain of your caliber. What other social media outlets can we find you on? Are you on YouTube? Are you on Twitter? If someone wants to engage or get some personal advice, tell us where else you're spreading your message, sir.
I am on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And under what moniker?
On Twitter, it's Villain Podcast. On Instagram, it's League of Villains Podcast. On YouTube, I believe it's Dr. Evil. And Facebook has a League of Villains page.
Very cool. Very cool. I'd like to talk about your persona, the helmet. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a wonderful picture of yourself in said helmet. But if you're just listening to podcasts, the best way I could describe this black and carbon black riveted together imposing helmet is, I would have to say in the proverbial description that Master Chief from Halo and Dr. Doom had a love child, and together, or they decided on a weekend to put together a helmet that would work for both men. And voila, that's the best way I can describe the T-visored, shaded outlook capped by a carbon black helmet with some rivets, a little bit of side wing vents, and is that an actual mount on the forehead for optics or something else?
Yes, I have a headset that I mount on there. I can have everything from a telescopic lens for me to zoom in on some of my projects, thermal vision, everything a villain could need out in the wild.
Ah, yes. Yes, I see. Sorry, I forgot about the backdrop. You actually are among the trees doing what you do, per se. Well, I know you're a busy man, and you're preparing for Expo. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Evil. Please do not target myself, my belongings, or my family. And could I possibly have Kenny back?
Certainly. You shall be spared at this time.
Thank you, sir. You're most gracious. Kenny, are you still with us?
I'm back.
Hi. I that must be exhausting for you to have someone sort of take the helm when the helmet goes on. Are you okay?
I'm good. It's actually quite liberating letting that part of me out.
Really? Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm no psychiatrist, and I won't delve into that personal aspect, but I do have a few more questions for you, Kenny, if you don't mind, some very personal questions. What do you do for a living? Besides being a father of five, that's exhausting too.
Well, I mean, they're from 24 to 6. So, I mean, at this point, they're starting to become self-sufficient. So it's just, you know, they need me for money.
Yeah, yeah. At 6, they get their first weapon. You know, 24, they'll be asking you to, like, to have their own lair or something. I understand. Can you talk about possibly your latest project on the show? What you've been delving into lately? Or what you're gearing up to do?
We are gearing up to start doing more interviews and talk about some more interesting topics. I believe the next one is going to be historical villains, and we're going to compare them to fictional villains so people might be able to understand the context a little bit more.
Oh, cool. So sort of comparing someone like Ivan the Terrible, that people really don't know about, but they did name the man Terrible, with perhaps, well, I wouldn't go so far as to say something as campy as like a Fortnite villain, but you'd be surprised where artwork and concepts or catch lines come from. Is that the type of thing we're going for? Or you're going into something more controversial, like anyone with a short little mustache under his nose is comparable to a supervillain of World War II?
Well, we're definitely going for some of the more common names. So I think one of them is we take Napoleon and compare him to Darth Vader, because they are similar in a lot of respects. And I actually have a history buff coming on the show to help me flesh out some of these historical figures.
Oh, cool. Now, is this a series within your series? Is this you're gonna run through as many as you can? Because this sounds like a good 6 to 12 episodes at least.
We are going to revisit it multiple times. A few episodes ago, we had a history major come in and talk about the evolution in medieval literature of villains, whereas I had thought they would be mainly like beasts and monsters. It was actually, you know, noblemen and poor character traits that were more villainous than, you know, wild animals.
Hmm. You have to forgive me. Our internet connection at the moment, because we, again, was so spontaneous, isn't great. And I don't want the unfortunate quality that I've sort of conjured up at the last minute reflect some of the interest and quality of your show, Kenny. I assure you that if he cuts out on me here or gets a little bit robotic, that is on our end, not on his. So what about the future? What does the future hold for the League of Villains? Can you give us a little teaser, a little taste?
Well, ideally, I would like to have enough listeners where I could take over the world. I feel like that's our end game.
Wow. That is ambitious. Now, you say we, you mean the proverbial you, Kenny, and Dr. Evil himself. Will there be room for more minions? Some of us to, you know, not necessarily be crushed under the heel of your boot in this new world?
Well, totally. We believe in teamwork here. So, you know, it's the strength of me and my minions.
Oh, really? Do you have a dental plan or, you know, sorry. That's jumping the gun. I don't know if you have flyers for the end of the world or the world reborn that rises from your personal turning it to ash. I guess that would be a topic for another day. But so far, both Kenny and Dr. Evil himself have been quite generous, not only in sparing our lives, but in giving us their time today with such short notice. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Well, that's all we have time for today, sir. We will see you next time on Attack of Opportunity. Look for the League of Villains on several podcast hosts, and hey, if you feel like getting your villain on, head down to the Expo this January. Look it up. Google it. It pops right in there. We will see you next time. Say goodbye, Dr. Evil.
See you all next time.